Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Has joined.
Tama, is it just you?
No, just now someone else came on.
No, okay. It's me too.
Welcome.
Thank you. Well,
we will begin our class, continuing the study of the Sephiroth and the Evolution of God Sefer by Rabbi Bar Tzedak. We're on chapter 4 in section 2. The title is Sephirotic Self-Identity, the Keter Dot Syzergy. Now, in case you're interested, Syzergy is spelled S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. So I have never seen that word before and have no idea what it means. But we will begin with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kuchabarichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Liakta L'shem Yudhe Bavate The Yehuda Shelim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Elohino Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunanei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunanei. The Sephirah Keter represents the ultimate higher source of each individual human soul. In the metaphorical guise of Adam Kadmon, the primordial man, it represents the level of consciousness where the individual self merges into the greater collective consciousness of combined humanity. Adam Kadmon is related to the Keter, therefore can never become conscious. This is why Keter is a crown on the top of the head. It symbolizes connection to the body while not being part of it. Yet as the functions of Chokmah and Bina operate within the mind, their union creates a sense of identity that defines the inner individual in a form that can be perceived through the powers of contemplation and meditation. This inner form is what is created by the union of Chokmah and Bina. It is the byproduct, the proverbial child of intuitive insight, which is Chokmah, and rational thought, which is Bina. This inner form is called the inner knowledge. In Hebrew, it's the word da'at. Da'at, knowledge, is one's inner sense of self or purpose that can be discovered and known through the using and merging of the mental powers of Chokmah and Bina. It is this sense of inner knowing, as opposed to the unknowable Keter, the higher self, that creates an internal dynamic that is the source of much deep introspection and meditative revelations. So far, I don't remember where Rabbi Bar Tzedak has defined introspection and explained what is the difference between introspection and meditative revelations. To me, they are very similar. One way of understanding the difference, introspection is to contemplate and concentrate on a particular subject, perhaps one of the Hebrew letters or many of the Hebrew letters. Meditative revelations is what comes as you progress out of introspection to a higher level called meditation. That's my opinion of the difference. One can know oneself in Dat. One cannot know oneself in Keter. For Keter is above being known. Both are technically one's own higher inner self. How can one know the one and yet not be able to know the other? The answer to this question explains the relationship between the Da'at mode of consciousness and the Keter mode above consciousness. This relationship also explains why in the scheme of the 10 Sephirot pattern, Da'at is not counted as a Sephirot at all. It is present. Da'at is always present, but its presence is relative and based on a pattern of relationships. In the count of the 10 Sephirot, Da'at is included in the number. Only when the Keter is excluded. In most interpretations of the later Kabbalah of the Sefat school to present day, which means from the time of the Ari till present day, the enumeration of the 10 Sephirot, although they begin with Keter, quickly bypass it and begin their expanded explanations and teachings starting with the Chokmah instead of Keter. They then include the semi-Sephirah Da'at as the replacement of Keter. The first triad of Sephirot is thus enumerated not as Keter, Chokmah, and Bina, referred to by the initial letters of the Sephirot, Kahab, but rather as Chokmah, Bina, and Da'at, referred to as Chabad. Chabad is a more recognized form today in that it is also the name of a well-known ultra-Orthodox Hasidic sect, which they spell C-H-A-B-A-D. They have adopted this name based upon their own unique interpretation of the use of this concept within their group's mystical literature. This Hasidic way of understanding Da'at is completely intellectual in nature and is therefore completely at odds with the deeper understanding of the true psychological nature of Da'at. One must again remember that there are different schools of thought with regards to almost everything. Each school and path has its own zealous adherents. Each interpretation of the Kabbalistic philosophy exists to accommodate those individuals who, as a group, are of a specific psychological orientation. As the old saying goes, to each his own. We do not critique or criticize the philosophies of others. We simply note the differences between the various schools of interpretation. The 10 Sephirot are usually divided into four realms or categories called worlds or olamot.
Has joined.
These worlds are then associated with the letters of the name Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh. Keter as a Sephirah, or as the world Olam of Adam Kadmon, is considered too high and sublime to be represented by any form or letter. Therefore, it is not enumerated within the four worlds. However, this would pose a problem for dividing the 10 Sephirot into the four worlds in this way would actually only include 9 Sephirot, with the number 10 being so essential and fundamental to the Kabbalistic philosophy, there cannot be just nine. The concept of dot was therefore devised to be a semi-sephirah in lieu of the missing Keter. Dot becomes what Keter cannot be. Da'at becomes Keter manifest. Once the revelation of Keter has been processed through the mental faculties of Chokhma and Bina, Da'at therefore is not the full Keter, but a minor revelation of a knowable aspect thereof. Da'at is a portion of the mind and consciousness, which merges rational clarity with intuitive conviction. Da'at, curiously, is also the Hebrew term to describe sexual union between a male and female. Throughout Scripture, we read that so-and-so knew so-and-so, as in the example, and Adam knew his wife Eve. Later, Kabbalah capitalized on this biblical language and uses it to describe the metaphorical union of the male cerebral attribute, Chokhma, or Abba, which is the father. And the female cerebral attribute, which is Bina, the Ima, the mother. This symbolism is important in that it helps us understand what the Kabbalists are referring to when they refer to Da'at. For the Kabbalists, Da'at, knowledge, is not just an academic acquisition of facts or external information. On the contrary, Da'at represents a deep inner conviction, one that is intensely felt. Da'at is a state of mind, rational mind, which instead of being void of emotion, is rather the place or the mindset where mind and emotions, which is the heart, merge. Practically, psychologically speaking, Da'at is the state of mind where head and heart merge as one. This is a state of total inner conviction. As such, Da'at is considered to be a revelation into one's true inner nature, an actual revelation of a portion of one's true higher unknowable self, the Keter. Based on the biblical model, the Kabbalah views Da'at, knowledge, as being internally based and mutually externally verifiable. This is the proper merger of Chokhma and Bina. Accomplishing this revelation of Chokhma-Bina union is what Da'at is. And Da'at is the purpose and manifestation of the original Keter, impulse that began the entire thought process. What begins as the seed of thought in the unknowable Keter gestates in the womb of the unconscious father, Chokhma. From there, a thought is born into the consciousness of mother, Bina. Mother and father unite, and their child matures to full and complete thought. This is Da'at. This is the process of the genesis, conception, growth, and maturity of thought and consciousness, according to the Kabbalah. Da'at becomes the essential link that connects the process of thought with the psychological half-conscious, half-unconscious dynamics of human emotion. With God, the initial triad of Sephirot focuses on the internal person. With Chokmah, the spark of intuition, being the beginning of consciousness. Bina is the mind, and Dat is the awareness and the sense of self one achieves once Chokmah and Bina are properly integrated and properly balanced. Chabad replaces Kahab, as described above. However, once this readjustment in Sephirotic consciousness occurs, two things happen. First, the center column of Sephirot, headed by Keter, is no longer the first in human consciousness. Second, Dat, how the third Sephirah becomes the first Sephirah, aligned in the center column of Sephirot. Dat now takes on a unique role of subservience to Keter, which, remember, is technically not even supposed to be there. Although Keter is not considered present, because its influence and presence is forever outside of consciousness. Nevertheless, Keter still exists. And with the presence and consciousness of Da'at, establishes a very important relationship dynamic. While Da'at, consciousness, can be referred to as one's inner self, Keter still exists. And even though it remains in the unconscious, even from the standpoint of the Dat directly beneath it, in the Sephirotic order, Keter consciousness can still sometimes be perceived. Yet, if Keter resides permanently in the unconscious, how is any of it ever experienced in the Da'at? Here, then, is the unique relationship. Meditators, deep thinkers, contemplators of nature, of science, and even technology, often can go off into thought and gain insights and revelations from what is perceived to be some otherworldly type being. This experience is the psychological source for so many different encounters with the so-called supernatural. Yet the truth be told, there is no actual contact with someone else, but rather there is contact with something else. This other something is none other than one's own inner Keter source. However, because Keter is so far removed from human consciousness, and forever out of its actual perception, and any and all revelations received from the Keter directly into the Dat barely touch the mental functions of Chokmah, which is intuition, and Bina, mental clarity. When one receives a thought from outside of themselves, that thought is coming from the Keter. And that Keter is the complete whole. But when it gets processed through the unconscious and then through the conscious, when it gets processed from through Chokmah to Bina, it may not be the complete whole anymore. An example of this, you have a thought to give pleasure to your child. That's in the Keter. By the time you have processed that thought through Chokhmah, what should I do to give the child pleasure? And then into the conscious level called Bina. Well, I can take them to the playground. I could take them swimming. I could take them to the restaurant. I could watch TV with them. I could play a game with them. All of these different possibilities are perceived in the Keter because it's the whole. They're perceived in the Chokhmah level because they are part of the unconscious thought. But then in the Bina level, they get narrowed to be, oh, I'm going to give the child pleasure by playing the game with them. So we have narrowed the whole into a part. That's dot. I'm continuing to read. What is experienced, therefore, is a kind of inner vision and impression that one is experiencing something other than oneself. Indeed, the experience is perceived as one being contacted by an outside other. This is the foundation of the experience known as an angelic encounter or being contacted by any other higher being, spiritual guide, or even God. Many times, most times actually, experiences of other spiritual beings are just encounter with one's own inner Keter. Now remember, Keter consciousness connects the individual mind to the collective mind of all humanity. Therefore, Keter has access to information, imagery, and revelation not limited to the singular and personal experience of the individual. So in the example that I have given you of the different thoughts, different components of giving pleasure to a child, all of the possibilities that any human being has ever experienced is made aware to me at the level of Keter. All of those possibilities are there. But I don't perceive them as separate ideas. I don't perceive them as watching television or playing a game or any of the other components that I have processed through Chokhmah and Bina. I just perceive the concept of I have a desire to give pleasure. But after that's processed, I have rejected those components of it that says maybe it came from a different person, a different family, a different culture. But in the Keter, it's there. But in actuality, in my life, those experiences may not be there. And I have had to reduce them and reject those that are not important to me. And right at the beginning, you have this aspect of judgment. Let me continue. When an experience of Keter occurs within dot consciousness, this encounter is usually experienced as an inner auditory vision, lacking any clarity of definitive meaning and interpretation. It is usually an archetypal vision. In other words, there's no judgment expressed in the Keter. Giving pleasure to a child in the culture of a desert community where there are no television sets and there's no internet connection, giving pleasure to the child might be taking a walk. But in our complex society, I would reject that. My Keter would reject that because it's unsafe. But the idea of taking the walk in one culture is available to me in the other culture. I do not reject it or judge it at the level of Keter. I judge it at the level of God. Continuing to read. Due to the overwhelming psychic sense of the archetype, coupled with the lack of mental clarity as to what the archetype is supposed to actually mean, the experience is often misunderstood and misinterpreted as being a message directly from God. This is the basis of what the Bible and other literature has called false prophecy. In essence, one's lack of comprehension of one's own Keter, higher self, causes one to interpret such an encounter as one with God, whichever God or God one believes in. This explains why people from all walks of life experience visions of their gods, yet each sees the God of their own cultural and psychological expectations. This is a nebulous Keter archetype leaking into the dot inner conviction without following the usual and necessary mental pathways of Chokhmah and Bina. In this example, in the Keter, I have all of these different options, but they're not separated. So I don't really think about them as different being different options. But when I go through Chokhmah and I go through Bina, I arrive at a level of I'm going to go for a walk. I've evaluated, I have made a judgment. But now that I'm thinking about going for a walk, what comes into the dots is the idea that I better change shoes. I can't give the child pleasure if their shoes are wrong. Without the clear mind to filter the experience, one is usually overwhelmed and becomes convinced that one has become chosen to perform some kind of mission for God. Needless to say, such endeavors can lead to devastating, harmful consequences. This is proper psychological analysis of how false prophecy occurs. It is an important and vital lesson for one to understand and to again acknowledge the vital mental triad construct of thought. When Keter is the source flowing first into Hakma, then into Bina, and then into Da'at, only in this way does Da'at stay true to this internal psychological dynamic. Any direct influence from Keter without the proper growth through Hakma and Bina leads to what we can rightfully metaphorically call the birth of a deformed child. Da'at is essentially Keter made manifest. Yet as essential as Da'at is, nevertheless it is still only the outer and lower expression of Keter. Keter is the essential origin. Da'at is only an appendage of Keter. This is why Da'at is not an independent Sephirah unto itself. Da'at existence is not independent or autonomous. Da'at depends on the Keter and is an extension of it. Keter and Da'at form the beginning of the central column of the Sephirotic diagram. What comes next along this center column is the heart of the Sephirotic tree.
Has joined.
Yet before the inner conviction of the mind, Da'at can become fully emotionally charged in the heart. The Sephirah Tiferet, it must pass through its own maturation process, just as did Keter before it. Keter matures through Hakma and Bina to produce Da'at. In like manner, Da'at must mature through the realm of unconscious emotions, which is represented by the Sephirah of Chesed and Givurah, before it can fully manifest in maturity in Tiferet. This introduction will now take us into our discussion about the second Sephirotic triad, Chesed, Givurah, Tiferet, which is the realm of emotions that are transformed from the unconscious into the conscious. And that is the completion of chapter 4. Are there any questions? Chapter 5, Tiferet, from thought to emotions. In Da'at, all knowledge comes into balance and focus. In Da'at, one knows what needs to be done. Yet, in order for Da'at knowledge to materialize into manifest action, there must be a vital first step. Think about this. How many thought does the average person think about in a day? The number is numerous, maybe too numerous to count. Of all these thoughts that run through a person's head, which are the thoughts that the person chooses to act on, In other words, why are the only certain thoughts brought to fruition, while the majority of thoughts just come and go without ever being acted upon or given a second thought? One's inner dot unites one's intellect with one's intuition. Dot unites the sense of rationale with the sense of something deeper, something not so clearly understood, but believed nevertheless. This inner deeper something is the inner Chachma, the source of intuition. Yet Chachma dwells in the unconscious part of the mind. Thus its influence is never clear, overt, and direct. When Chachma enters Bina, it is cloaked in Bina's rationale. When Bina and Chachma within it manifest as Dot, there exists a rational conviction of a thought. And this rational conviction has underlying it a deeper yet unconscious feeling. Chachma is never manifest directly, overtly, without being cloaked in Bina. The inner sense of feeling in Dot is the concealed unconscious Chachma. It is this force within Dot that knows or understands. That knows, or maybe it is better to say feels, what is the right thoughts to act upon. Of all the thoughts that pass through the mind, the thoughts that are acted upon are the ones for which we have an emotional component added to them. In other words, we act upon what we feel, not upon what we think. We human beings are thinking, emotional beings. Our thoughts are forever wrapped up in our emotions. This is how Bina and Chachma interact. This is how their merger is manifest. Human emotions exist because of our internal Chachma. Human emotions are the unconscious thoughts of Chachma brought into Da'at. And in Da'at, they become the source of human emotions and motivation. Da'at creates motivation. Without motivation, there is no thought that is ever translated into deed. Human emotions motivate us to act. Emotions, therefore, are the next manifestation within the ten sephirot. After the initial sephirotic triad of Keter or Dot, Chachma and Bina comes two more triads that work intimately with one another. These two triads of six sephirot revolve around the central sephirah portrayed in the center column. In other words, Keter and Dot are of the center column, with Chachma and Bina being functions that serve them. In this same way, the central sephirah is Tiferet. It is directly below the Dot in the center column, just as Dot is serviced by the sephirah of Chachma and Bina. So too is Tiferet serviced by two sephirot, Chesed of the right column, directly under Chachma, and Givura on the left column, directly under Bina. This new triad of Sephirot performs the vital function of emotionally charging the mental faculties, enabling chosen thought to transform from the theoretical state into the actual state. No deed is performed that is not a combination of both head and heart. We human beings are composite in this way. We are never fully cerebral, and nor are we ever fully emotional. Our thoughts and our feelings are always blended together. Needless to say that the blend of thought and feelings is not always a nice, even mix. Almost always there is something that is out of balance, causing the individual mental anguish and emotional instability. These two triads of Sephirot, Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet, and the second triad which follows, serve as an archetypal pattern for emotional stability and balance. When properly aligned and balanced psychologically, within the mind and heart of the individual, these six Sephirot serve as the inner construct of emotional balance and a properly aligned, healthy mental state. When this is all in balance, we have then the right and true inner form of the human being, one created in the image of God. This inner image, represented by these six Sephirot in proper balance, is considered by the Kabbalists to be the true revelation of God within us. This is why these six Sephirot are together referred to as the Sephirotic face or partsuf, called Zeranpin, small face, the metaphorical small face of God. We human beings are formed in this image, and therefore when we see God within, we see God as reflected through this. His metaphorical smaller face, the one that we human beings can perceive and understand as a reflection of our own proper and balanced humanity. That's the end of this chapter section. Are there any questions or comments or thoughts? If there are no questions or comments or thoughts, I will just bid you adieu. Remember that we have a class in Advanced Reincarnation Tools that will start at the 1 o'clock West Coast time period. I bid you all shalom. Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful afternoon.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.